Let me invite you to join me in the Word of God today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we want to talk about the church. Even when I say that word, church, what does it bring to mind? So many times I think we think of the church as a building. We can be driving out in the countryside and say to ourselves, oh, look, there's a church. But the reality of it is, a church is just using a building in order to do corporate worship, in order to gather together under the instruction of God's Word, the teaching and the preaching of the Word. So the church is definitely not a building, though we talk about it that way. We say, I am going to church. And we go to a building, point to a building, and think that that's the church. Other people really see that word church as a certain time. When do we have church? We have church on Sundays at 10:30. We have church at 9 o'clock doing Bible study. And this becomes for us our concept of the church. The New Testament teaches us that belonging to the body is really what defines a church. The church is much bigger than a building. The church is much bigger than a certain time of the week. The church is the dynamic body of believers who are gathering in the name of Jesus, using their spiritual gifts to minister and to serve and to build the kingdom of God. So we need to be careful about how we talk about church. The church is not the building. If this building burns down tonight, when we're not here, right? That's when we want it to burn down, when we're not here. We have not lost the church. We have to be very careful to understand that. We do not worship the building. We worship the Savior through the body as we've gathered here today corporately. But if this church burned down tonight, we would meet across the street next week as the body of Christ. And if that building burned down, we'd go to the old sanctuary. And if the old sanctuary burned down, we'd just sit out in the parking lot and have time together as the body of Christ. You see my point? The church is not tied to a building. And if we think that the church is tied to a certain time of the week, we have also missed what it means to be a part of the body. The church is so much bigger than just Sunday mornings at 10:30. It's not 1 hour that I give to church. So the church is first and foremost a body. You say, where do you get that? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Here's what it says, working backwards into the passage. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. That is a powerful conclusion to what Paul begins to say in verse number 12 about the body. So, thinking about the church and what the church is, okay, the church is the body of Christ. So, wherever we see the body of Christ in action, we see the church. So, when we start to think about that, go back to December the 2nd. In the evening, we had what we called the live nativity. Would we say that night that we didn't have church? Or did we have church? as we used our spiritual gifts, as we used our talents, as we used our abilities, our willingness and availability to present the greatest message that's ever been told, that a Savior is born into the world and His name is Christ. You see, we have to be very careful when we make statements like that. We may have canceled a corporate worship gathering in a sanctuary, but the church was not canceled that night. The church was outside its doors inviting its neighbors and friends and the community to come hear this great story of this great Savior. Last Wednesday night, we went caroling on Wednesday night. And some of you probably said at home, we're not having church tonight. For those of us who went and participated, we had church. It was fantastic. It was the body of Christ in action, out in the community, using our gifts, doing what? Serving, encouraging, building up. So when we go to Brazil, and we have some of our Brazilian friends here today, when we go to Brazil, we are the church. When we go to Eagleton Middle School and roll up our sleeves and do some community service, that is the church in action. That is the church using its gifts, using its abilities, using what God has entrusted to us to serve others in Jesus' name. When we go to Big Creek, we are the church. The body of Christ serving, working together. When we go to the Baptist Center, when we go to Map Makers, we are the church. So be careful when you ask this question. My wife asked it to me in Sunday school. Are we having church Wednesday night? And the answer to that is no, we're not having a corporate gathering of people to pray and sing and do different things in the church. But the church is the church. Even when this building is empty, the church is the church. So be a part of community outside of the church. Be a part of discipleship outside of the church. Be a part of what God is doing in this world on mission, and you will sense the pleasure of serving God for His glory through the body, which is why we exist as a church. When this body is ministering to others, when this body is exercising spiritual gifts, we are at that very moment being the body of Christ to the glory of God. So don't limit your understanding to church to a building or a time or a program. Church is the body of Christ. And as we'll see in our passage today, it has huge implications for who we are in that body. Look with me at verse number 12. For just as the body is one. Now he just spoke about spiritual gifts in verse 4. And now he's going to talk about how those gifts fit into the body and serve the body. For just as the body is one. We are one body. One unified body in Christ Jesus. That's the church. But we're also many members. So we have one body, but it is made up of a diverse many members. And then he reverses it. And all the members, that's all without exception, each one without exception, all the members of the body, though many, are one body. There is unity and diversity in the body of Christ. We are unified by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and at the same time, we are diversified in the way that we serve Him, in the way that we use our giftedness, in the way that we use what God has entrusted to us. And if you notice, he ends verse 12, so it is with Christ. Now, he's talking about the church, and it's interesting that he would end the sentence with Christ. You could just as easily read it this way, right? For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with the church. But that's not what it says. Listen, Christ has so aligned his heart, his vision, his purposes with the church, given the church the Spirit, so much so that when the church is acting in this world, it is said to have the work of Christ in it. So Christ and the church are inseparable. Don't think for a minute that you can have Christ apart from the body that he has placed you in. That is dysfunctional Christianity. You cannot disembody yourself from the body that he has put you into. This is why we can't live the Christian life alone or individually. We have to live it in community. So listen to verse 13. For in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. He's giving us our identification in the Bible. This is where we get identity from, in Christ, in the gospel, in what he has done for us. And what exactly has he done? At the moment of our conversion, at the moment where we repented and put our faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ and surrendered to him completely and said, Lord, I believe I am yours. Take me. At that moment, the Spirit of God was in us and made us new creations, born again by the Spirit of God. And in being born again by the Spirit of God, being made new creations, experiencing the new birth, this is what happened. God, by the Spirit, placed us into his supernatural body so that it could be said that we were in Christ and Christ was in us. That supernatural Spirit baptism is shown to you, symbolized by the water baptism. See, don't think for a moment that you get the Spirit when you get the water. You get the Spirit when the Spirit of God brings conviction upon you, brings brokenness upon you, humbles you, shows you Christ in all of his glory, and you surrender to that. You say, Lord, I believe, and I have faith that you are Son of God, has died on this cross for my sins, has taken my place, has rose from the grave, as it was so beautifully sung about a moment ago. When that reality comes crashing in, and at that very moment we are born again by the Spirit of God, the Spirit is placing us. That's what baptism means. It means to be placed, sometimes under water or in water. And in this context, we were all placed into one body. The body of Christ, the church. Verse 28, by the way, in this chapter is the first time the word church is ever mentioned. I want you to see that. And God has appointed in the church. This word in Greek is ekklesia. It means those who are called out, the called out ones. What is God doing when he is giving us new life through the new birth? He is calling us out of the world and he is calling us into the kingdom of God. He is calling us out of the kingdom of Satan and he is calling us into the kingdom of his Son. He is calling us out of this world and its darkness and he is calling us into the kingdom of his Son of marvelous and glorious light. God in Christ is calling us. This word in verse 13 is our identity. Paul's saying to you and I, you are blessed as recipients of grace to know him, to walk in him, to serve him in the body that you have been placed in. God has called us in order that we might serve him. And I love what it says at the end of verse 13. Jews or Greeks, it doesn't matter. Slaves or free, it doesn't matter. Male or female, doesn't matter. Rich or poor, doesn't matter. Because we are one body in Christ. One body in Christ. All of these diverse backgrounds, all of these different social, economic levels, all of these differences going around in this world. And yet when we come to Christ, we are now identified as Christ, as His son or daughter, as children of the living God. We have been made to drink of one Spirit. And that word drink means to fill. It means to control. What we drink floods inside us and takes control of us. This is critically important to understanding what happened at the moment of our conversion. We were all called to drink and to be full of the Holy Spirit of God. That happened to us. Now, it's interesting when you talk about the filling of the Spirit. We're told in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, that we leak. And because we leak, we need to be filled by the Spirit of God. So, the baptism of the Spirit into the body of Christ is administered by the Holy Spirit, which occurs at the moment of our conversion. At the moment of our regeneration, when we are born again. But the constant filling of the Holy Spirit happens to us throughout our lives. As we ask, according to Ephesians 5, 18, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we ask God to do for us what we so desperately need, to fill us with the Spirit's control, to fill us with the Spirit's wisdom. So water baptism is what symbolizes the Spirit's baptism that has already taken place. Verse 14. There's really three great truths in this section that I want you to see as we go towards the end. I'm going to give them to you and then explain them. We belong, we are needed, and we are cared for. If you think about a church, these are critical issues. Being part of the body means I belong. Being part of the body means I'm important. Being part of the body means I'm cared for. But notice if I say, I belong and I am needed and I am cared for, I've suddenly shifted the focus where? On me. Where the focus should be on the body. And we'll see that in the passage. We belong, we are needed, and we are cared for. Here's the first one. For if the body does not consist of one member, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many, he's just repeating his point. Now listen to this illustration. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. There's our phrase, belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. Now you think about your foot. What do you do with your feet just about every day? You cover those puppies up, right? You don't want people to see those toenails. You don't want people to see those crooked toes. You don't want people to see the feet. So what do? You throw socks on them. You throw shoes on them. And some of you ladies may occasionally throw a little polish on those toenails, right? But for the most part, the feet are out of sight, right? We're not really paying attention to feet unless, you know, you don't wear socks in the middle of winter, and we won't call any names on that, but you get the point. But what about the hand? How many of you this morning have a piece of jewelry on your hand, even a wedding ring? The hand can wear jewelry. The hand can have all kinds of sightline vision. right? The hands are what we pay attention to. When we go to a magic show, we're not watching his feet. We're watching hands, because the hands are where it's at. So it could be easy for the foot to say, I'm not a hand, therefore I don't belong. And what Paul is saying to you and I, whether we are a hand, whether we are a foot, we are all equally part of the body of Christ. And that's his point. The point is not for you to go around your entire Christian life wondering, why am I a foot and not a hand? We'll get to that in a minute. So in the Corinthian church, they were having issues in the body about belonging. They were saying that some of the members who were the feet of the group, they weren't really belonging to the body of Christ like the hands. And Paul cuts that argument in half and he says, we are part of the body. Now, if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. So do you want to be an ear or do you want to be an eye? An ear is what actually directs the eye. If there was a huge explosion out this door that we heard, you would immediately, with your eyes, look outside there. What just happened? The ear is directing the eye. And so we think, well, the eye would be so much better to be an eye to see instead of hear. And what Paul is saying is that we need both. We need hands, we need feet, we need ears, we need eyes, because when it all functions together, it promotes the health and the well-being and the efficiency of the body. In the same way, we need each member of the body serving, working, using their spiritual gifts in order for this church to reach its maximum potential in Christ. This idea that we have hired this guy to do this or that guy to do this, or we have about 10 people that really want to do something in the church, is so foreign to the New Testament. All of you are ministers and servants of the living God. My role as a member of this body is teaching and preaching. That's the role that God has given me and equipped me and gifted me. But we could not build a church just on this role. I can't be down the hall and watch babies so that parents can be in here to hear the word. I can't be both places. I can't be out front greeting, welcoming. I try to make it around here to say hi to everyone before the service starts, but I need greeters. I need welcomers. I need people who will smile and say, welcome to Madison Avenue. I can't teach every Sunday school class. I need teachers who can teach and who can get into the Word and let the Word get into them and share that Word in a small group context. We need these folks as they have been gifted and equipped by the body of Christ. So I know my role, and I glory in God for the role that He's given me to be opening the Scriptures with you every week and teaching you from the Word. But just having the Word is not the church. The church is all of our gifts working together. The individual who puts their arm aside someone and speaks to them and comforts them and encourages them before the service or after the service, that person is as important as anyone in the body of Christ, because they have a gift of encouragement. They have a gift of mercy. And that simple gesture of putting your arm around someone, praying for them, encouraging them, is the body of Christ in action. So we don't say to people, hey, you're not the foot, or you're not the hand, or you're not the eye, or you're not the ear, you don't belong. He says in verse 17, think about it. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? You'd lose it. And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Do you see the diversity there? We need these parts because they are interdependent on one another. Now, verse 18 is extremely instructive to me. And if you have not heard anything to this point in the message, please dial in to verse 18 because this is powerful. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. When I started my ministry here, I told you from Matthew chapter 16, this is God's church. It is not the pastor's church. It is not the deacon's church. It is not the Sunday school's church. It is not the choir's church. It is not the staff's church. It is God's church. And as God's church, God has, listen, sovereignly arranged the body as He so chose it to be. Think about that. If you are here, I pray that you're here because God has sovereignly arranged for you to be here in the body. So that when we make statements like this, the only thing that's keeping me at Madison Avenue is Brother Greg. And if Brother Greg ever left, we would leave. Friend, please don't say that. You should be here because God put you here. God ordained for you to be here. If you make a statement like, Sam Wagner, oh, if Sam Wagner ever left, he's the only thing keeping me at Madison Avenue. Be careful. God, I pray that you wouldn't follow a man, but that you'd follow God. You should be here because you see the hand of God leading you here, telling you this is the place where you're going to worship. This is the place where you're going to serve. This is the place where you're going to hear the preaching of the Word. And this is the place where you're going to be on mission for Jesus Christ. I'm here because God called me here and put me here. Praise His name. That's got to be our hearts. Don't put your hope or trust in a man. Put your hope and trust in our living God who sovereignly arranges the body. God, in His sovereignty, put me in the body, place me in the body, position me carefully in the body. This verse encourages me. Because it means that God did not haphazardly throw the body together, but He planned it from eternity past. And He brings it about in such a powerful way by His plan, calling us out of darkness, calling us into His kingdom of light, putting people in a new community of believers called the church. God arranged all of this. Look down in verse 24. Verse 24 says, which are more presentable parts do not require, but God has watched, so composed the body. Who is responsible for composing the body? Who is responsible for putting the body together? In fact, when you go down and you talk about leadership in verse 28, and God has appointed in the church. God is placing us strategically in His body. He is appointing leaders to lead His body. He is composing His body so that it can bring Him maximum glory and praise and honor. So back to the question. If you're upset that you're a foot, who should you take it up with? The pastor? No, the pastor didn't have anything to do with it. Who arranged the body? God did. God is the one. So instead of saying, wow, I'm just so upset that I didn't get this great public leadership speaking gift, and instead I find myself a behind-the-scenes service, listen, in Christ, rejoice in what He's called you to. Serve in what He's called you to. That's the only way to find true joy in the Christian life, is to serve the way God wired you and placed you into the body of Christ. Don't resent someone else because they got a different gift, but rejoice that there's diversity in the gifting in the body, because without that, we would be dysfunctional. So He's really helping us understand that the church is God ordained, God arranged, God composed. And I love the way He says it. He's very careful, isn't He? Verse number 18, each one of them. You know what that means? Nobody can say, He skipped me. He missed me. He passed over me. No, He's done it for each one of them. If we were all a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts. Here He goes again, yet one body. Now, I am needed. We are needed. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Right? God puts in the body not an independence from each other, but an interdependence on each other. This is humbling. Independence fosters pride. But when we are depending on each other, when we are interdependent on each other, it humbles us because people are counting on us. People are counting on us. They are depending on us. They are relying on us to function in the body so that we don't miss their gift operating in the body. So, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, right? There's no part that is unimportant. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. And so what you see there is the body covering the body, right? The body is looking out for each other, helping each other, caring for each other. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the, here it is, the same care for one another. If I come to a church and I'm not cared for in that body, then that body is not functioning the way the body should. In this church, you should feel cared for. And if you don't, find community. Find a connect group. Find a connect class. Because in that smaller group within the church, I know that care is happening. I have seen it. I have been blessed by it. That is one of the strongest things that we have operating in our church, is the way that we care for one another. And here's the key. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. We are all together. Whether it's in rejoicing, whether it's in suffering, it is one being ministered to by the many. And I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to find that in the world. You're going to find that in the body of Christ. You will not find that in this world. You will find it in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you are the body. You are the body. When you came in, you received in your pew a disciples' pathway. The disciples' pathway is coming out again because we looked at it once before. We looked at it even before I came as your pastor, and we bring it back again as a reminder. Where are we headed on the journey of being a disciple, being a Christ follower, right? I mean, we do not, as a church, each year vote on the vision of the church. Jesus has already given us the vision of the church. It's called the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and do what? Make disciples, teach the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the imperative of the Great Commission is making disciples. And it makes sense for us as a church to know that we have a strategy or a plan for making disciples. There's four quadrants on this page. We start with connect up, because I believe that's where discipleship begins. You are no longer worshiping the things of the world. You are no longer worshiping idols. You have been called out of the darkness into the kingdom of His light in order that you might worship the true living God. And so discipleship begins in worship. Discipleship begins by connecting up through worship, in corporate worship, in individual worship, in family worship, in biblical training and teaching, the word and worship. Those are critically important to being a disciple. And let me just say this plainly, you cannot opt out of that and be a disciple. And it really grieves me that we have folks in this church who are members of this church who skip worship. And I'm just going to say, as your pastor, because I love you, that shouldn't be. Because friends, if you can't worship God here, what makes you think you're going to be able to worship Him with everyone at the throne? Worship. Connecting up. Look at the next panel to the right. Connecting in through community. Okay? Again, not something we can opt out of. I mean, you can't read 1 Corinthians 12 and say, I'm going to take a pass on community. Community is what makes the body strong. It's how we care for each other, how we love each other, how we get to know each other. When you come in here and there's 300 people or 350 people, it's hard to get to know people. But when you get into a smaller group, you are able to experience community, knowing that you belong, knowing that you're cared for, knowing that you're prayed for. Again, can I opt out of community? Can God just look at me and say, you know what? All those love one another's, serve one another's, all of those one another's in the Bible, I'm just going to write you a pass on those. You don't have to do those with your brothers and sisters. No, it doesn't work like that. So for the person who says, I love the worship service, but man, I just don't want to get involved in community, I'll skip that and go to discipleship in the bottom corner, you're missing a component of what it means to be a disciple that's critically important for the church to healthily function. And so that may be a place as you look at 2019 and you say, you know what? I am connecting in worship, but I really am not connecting in community, and I want that to change in a new year. Then you see in the bottom corner underneath community, this discipleship. This was our test year. We launched several D groups. We're going to have testimonies from our D groups soon in the new year so that you can get an understanding of how powerful these D groups have been in changing people's lives. D groups, for those of you who don't know, are gender exclusive groups, meaning men meet with men, women meet with women. There's usually three or four or five that meet each week, and their whole purpose is to go deeper into discipleship. You can only go so far with a worship message and a connect in community message, but you have to get to the place where you are the one who are studying and learning and growing and participating. The real danger in this disciple's pathway is that you can go to worship and be quiet. You can go to community and be quiet. But you can't go to a D group and be quiet. Ask anyone who's been involved in a D group, and they will tell you, you have to contribute, you have to talk, you have to share, you have to get honest and transparent and real so that you can grow. And if you're not involved in discipleship, if you're not involved in growing deeper in your faith, let us know. Let us help you find a D group. I'm in the process of putting a D group together for this new year. I want to be practicing what I am preaching. There are other groups that are in the church, other new groups that are wanting to form. And if you're interested in that part of the disciples' pathway, we want to see you get connected. We can help you do that. Let us know. Contact us. And then the last of the connect out with the world. Serving, evangelism, and missions. Connecting out with the world. That's what it's all about. Right? There's no sense in going through worship and community and discipleship if we're not going to give it away. So that's the whole purpose. To see, instead of 50 people on mission, to see 300 people on mission in this new year. That you need to ask yourself as a disciple, how am I connecting out with this world? How am I serving? How am I sharing? How am I on mission? To be intentional about that. Now, what's the word that you see in all of those scenarios? Connect. Connect. In church, that's what we want to be about. We want to be about connecting people to Jesus. Connecting people to Jesus. One conversation at a time. And as we connect them to Jesus, they're going to connect in worship. They're going to connect in community. They're going to connect in discipleship. They're going to connect out with the world. And as you look at this map of discipleship, and you say, am I connecting in worship? Am I connecting in community? Am I connecting in discipleship? Am I connecting out with the world? Where do you need help? Where do you need guidance? Where do you need God to say, hey, you haven't been where you need to be in this area, and this is the year, this is the time to get connected in that way, connecting people to Jesus Christ, one conversation at a time. Let's pray together. Father, we have no doubt been challenged. You can't read 1 Corinthians 12, and sit and soak and be silent. Lord, we have in this service today blasted a trumpet sound to the people of God to be the body of Christ. God, it is not about a building. God, forgive us for where we have made the church to be a building. It is not about a building. It is not about a certain time of the week. God, the body of Christ is organic. The body of Christ is living. The body of Christ is growing. It's dynamic. Father, we get to be a part of that because by Christ and His grace, we have been saved and we have been baptized by the Spirit into this body. And as recipients of grace, we say to You, Lord, use us. God, use us in this year, 2019. Lord, use us and change us. Oh, transform us. Father, we need to contribute to this body. We need to invest in this body. We need to serve in this body. Not because of guilt and not because of shame, but because You, oh God, have sovereignly put us, placed us, positioned us in this body. Friend, You are here with a purpose. You are loved. You are cared for. You belong because of Jesus Christ. And so as we have this invitation today, how would God be speaking to your heart? Maybe you have been dealing with something and you just need to step out on faith today and say, yes, Lord. My yes is on the table. Others who may say, you know what? We haven't been in a connect group, in a Sunday school class in years. But 2019, next Sunday, we're going to be in a class. However God speaks to your heart, if you feel like you need to go deeper in discipleship, you feel like you're not grown, you feel like you're stunted in your spiritual growth, then simply say, I'm going deeper in 2019. Father, the fields are wide unto harvest, and you tell us the greatest need is to send workers into that field. And Father, the missionaries that sit in the pews of this church, God, would you light a fresh fire in them? Because we have good news to tell this world. Father, would you do that for your glory today? If you're here and you've never been saved, I pray that today you've heard how awesome it is to follow and know Jesus. He died for your sins on the cross. He rose from the grave, and through repentance and faith, by confessing him as Lord, you can be saved even today. Others may want to come and unite with our church. What a great body of Christ to be with as we serve the Lord together in the years to come. God, it's your invitation. We pray you would use it as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we sing.